Everyone's easier stuff. Thank you, Joe. I'm an addict. My name's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Welcome,
Hi, Steve.
everybody, to this kind of special meeting of the Highlands and Islands groups of Narcotics Anonymous Saturday night speaker meeting. Can we please start this meeting with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict? Remember our friend. Give him some thoughts.
Greetings of colour, the celebration for the King's official birthday is a day full of tradition and military spectacle.
Thank you, guys. We're going to start this meeting in the usual way with some suggested readings from the basic text, and I'm going to be asking people to be kind enough to read them. As I said, my people that might not be familiar with this meeting, you can just unmute yourselves to share. So would someone like to start us off by reading Who is an Addict for us?
Yeah, I'm Joanne. I'm an addict.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centred in drugs in one form or another. The getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, Joanne.
Someone like to read what is the Narcotics Anonymous for us?
I'm Paula, I'm an addict.
Hi, Paula, welcome.
Hi, Paula.
Paula.
What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a non-profit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We're not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious or law enforcement groups, and we're under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you use or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you, Paula.
Thanks, Paula.
What's happening with this? This is weird. Hang on a minute, guys. I've lost control of something here. A minute. Why isn't that working? Let me stop sharing that. I'm going to start sharing it again. Apologies, guys. There was a glitch on that. So let's see if this works properly. Okay. Would someone like to tell us why are we here?
Yeah,
my name's Steve.
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
My name's Steve. I'm an addict. Why are we here?
Steve, welcome.
All right, before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We place our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realised that in our addiction we were slowly committing suicide. Addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress. until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realised we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is impossible.
Thank you, guys. One of our homegrown members has made this suggestion. I'm going to give this a shot and see if it works. But this is Jim reading how it works.
Yeah, I'm Jim. I'm an addict. How it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, we continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order. We can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day. So remember, easy does it. There's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, and one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society, in everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you're like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 never enough. We put great emphasis on this, but we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug, full stop. We are people with a disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover. Thank you very much.
And I just realised that I did all that without doing the meeting reminder, so I'm going to jump into that quickly, which is please remember to listen to the similarities and not the differences. Please be mindful of others needing to share after meeting is large. In order to allow the maximum of people to share, we ask that you do your best to share the time. Spirit respect for others, as I said before. We don't have raised hands or muted microphones in this meeting. We rely on your integrity to be kind to each other. Please remember to mute microphones when not sharing. Please be mindful it is a conscience to this group not to use video. It's actually turned off on entry. If of use today on a maintenance program, you are welcome, but please listen to what is being said and talk to someone in the meeting after the meeting that will take place. We are happy for attendees to post in the text box, however, please refrain from cross-sharing or chit-chatting. Please keep the messages positive, keep an atmosphere of recovery. And we'd ask if you wouldn't do it, say it, or anything else in a face-to-face meeting, please don't do it here. If you have any questions about our meetings or anything else to do with recovery in NA, you don't get your questions answered during the meeting, please send us an email to meetings@higna.org.uk and we'll do our best to respond to you. And if you require meeting attendance verification, please let the chair, host, or other trusted servant of the meeting know by giving them your name and email address in via a private message in the chat box, and it will be taken care of. So thank you guys. And with that, I just want to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. This is a special meeting tonight. We are remembering our friend Jim. And we have a very special speaker this evening that I'm going to introduce. I've had the privilege of actually getting to know this individual a lot more in the last few days. I spent quite a bit of time with him, and it's been an absolute privilege. And he was a very, very good old friend of Jim's. And I'm just going to let Mick speak for himself. So please, guys, welcome Mick to our meeting. And Mick, the floor is yours. You share for 44, 45 minutes, or as long as you feel comfortable sharing. So the floor is yours, sir. Just unmute your mic and jump in and share with us. Thank you and welcome.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, sorry, but Mick, I'm an addict.
Hello,
Hi,
Mick. Welcome
Mick.
to the
Hi,
meeting.
Mike.
Hi, Mick, and welcome.
Hello,
Hi,
Mick.
Mick.
Welcome.
Hi, Mick.
Hi. Yeah, it's sort of an honor to be asked. I remember the very first phone call I got from Jim. I'd seen him around, usually outside meetings, entertaining people, as he usually did. I think that was a Sunday night, and on Monday morning I got a call. I think the wife was present when we had this call, and he asked me to sponsor him, and I thought, oh no, not another drummer. And I was reluctant initially. And the wife overheard the conversation. And she said, I think you better ring him back. You know, how dare you refuse to help someone who's taken the trouble to ask you to sponsor them? So I rang him back, and the adventure began. Yeah, he was a sponsee, he was a friend, and it became more than that, you know. It's been a real adventure, especially, you know, sort of privilege of being able to be with him. You know, I've known for a while this day was going to come. We talked a lot in the last few weeks around his fear of being alone when the end came. And I made a commitment that's not going to happen to him. You know, wherever I am, whenever it is, I'm going to be there. And I was lucky enough to be able to fulfill that commitment, you know. And that's a gift I've been given by NA, you know, doing what I do, committing to what I'm going to do, and seeing it through to the very end. And I will say that it felt painful, but yet it was a blessing, you know. Even in death, it taught me a lot, you know. And that's the way I've used sponsorship, you know. That's where I learn, you know, to get a deeper understanding of what it's really like for that person, you know. It's been a real pleasure to have him in my life, and not just for me, for my whole family, you know. He inspired my grandkids, he inspired my son, you know. He did so much. He was a member of our family, you know, not just the NA family. And that's been the case throughout his life, you know. And his struggles, you know. I'm privileged enough to, you know, be left with the opportunity to clear his apartment. You know, we got 7 days to get everything out, and there's been an awful lot of work put into it, you know. My sponsors rallied round and helped and stuff like that, you know, and it's been good. It's been good. And I'm learning so much now. You know, we had deep, meaningful conversations. And those are continuing. He was great in, you know, he kept a journal all the way through, all the way through. And we looked at some, you know, that seeking what we go to NA for, you know, that journey of not, you know, we're beyond addiction. This is beyond addiction. Jim's biggest struggle was around smoking, you know, all through his recovery, you know, desperate attempts to give it up, you know. He struggled with being a musician, you know. I'm reading now where he's looking in depth at why he does what he does, and I think this is 2009. Yeah, 2009, and he's asking himself that sort of question, you know. What a life this man's led, you know. It was good, you know. I know we're an NA family, and this is about recovery and an NA meeting, and you know, the beauty of the funeral was there were other members who he's touched upon and still doing, you know. These aren't NA people, you know. These are musicians, you know. My phone has never stopped, you know, since he died, constantly, you know, and yeah, it's been an adventure. It's still an adventure, you know. He's gone, but he's here in spirit. He made wishes that we're really trying to, you know, uphold, and it's not easy. But we're getting there slowly. Yeah, it's been a real privilege for me, you know, just to know the man, the life he led, you know, the people he touched, you know, the work he did for NA, you know, H&I, you know, and not just in the UK. You know, I've got stuff from America when he went doing H&I in America. You know, he was given an award by the correctional service and stuff like that. You know, I remember him going to Parliament, you know, the money he raised for different organisations. I mean, yeah. So much, you know, and I think me and Steve are going to try and sort of share it with everyone, but believe me, there is so much. You know, we were downsizing our house, it's overflowing at the minute with stuff that we need to go through. You know, I'm up to wife number two, and that's a journey that we need to look more into. And yet he had no next of kin, no living next of kin, and that, you know. But I know how much online meetings meant to Jim, you know. I spoke to Jim twice a week, every week, for the last 27 years, you know. feel I got to know him. You know, he was more than a friend, more than a sponsor. He was a brother, you know. And I've laughed as much as I've shed the tears, you know. We were honoured that Toby did a lot of singing with, you know, his songs were played, that he was in Italy and he made his way back and got it. He was determined, you know. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. I just, you know, he was a friend, a brother, and it's been a real honour to just do what we do, you know, and I want to thank you all anyway for the support you've given him over the period. I know online meetings have been really important to me. Not that I attend them, you know, I did in lockdown and stuff like that, but I've always been a supporter for people who can't get to the meeting, who feel comfy doing it the way it's done and stuff, you know. It's all inclusive and you know. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there, Steve. I can't, you know, going to get really emotional. It'd be nice if you could share the picture on the service of Thanksgiving, you know, celebrating Jim's life. That's how I want to remember Jim. Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Mick.
Mick, thank
Bye,
you,
Mick. Thanks, Mick.
Thanks, Mick. Awesome stuff.
Thank
yeah.
you, Mick.
I'm not going to share now. I might jump in and share a bit later on. I'm just going to open the floor for sharing. We don't use raised hands, but I see that Paula has a hand up there. So, Paula, I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself and just jump in and share. And thank you so much, Mick, for coming along and doing the things that you've done in this last week and last couple of 3 weeks and all that you did to help Jim through his difficult stuff that you dealt with. So really, really grateful. Paula, floor's yours. Please jump in and share with us.
Hiya, thanks, Steve. I'm just seeing a few pictures that have come up of people that are on here that I haven't seen for ages. And I just want to say quickly, hello, Hug Dealer, AD, miss you. Okay. Mick, thank you so, so much. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart because you've been there like Jim has from day one for me on my 40th birthday. You put up with me till I could get service in HNI, till I had the right clean time. And I know exactly what you've done for this fellowship. And I know how close you were to Jim. And just quickly, I went to visit Jim a few years ago and my friend was buying a couch off him and that. And he said to me, do you want to take anything? Because I'm moving and I'm downsizing. So he gave me his Roald Dahl clock. It's in the cabinet now in the front room. It's a golden turquoise one, like the melting clock off the artwork. You know, but when Jim got diet, my daughter's not talking, my eldest not talking to me for the last 5 years. But for the first 11 years of my recovery, she was on board. She's not an addict. She was on board with NA, with everything. She got to know everyone through a comedy. She opened a comedy club when she got back from Australia and she had 3 strokes. But by the by, Jim got diagnosed with prostate cancer and he heard of my daughter. He heard of Alana and her doing a comedy in the prisons and in the recovery cafes. And he didn't say anything to me or Alana, and he just said, you know, it was later on, he said, I wanted to try something different, and I wanted to try something where NA members didn't know. And so he wanted to do a bit of comedy, see how we went on with it. So he went as far away as possible, hundreds of miles away to this comedy thing that was up and running, and they had a newcomer slot, like we have newcomers time, they had a newcomer slot. And he said to me, he started off, and he'd never met my daughter at this point, and he started off by saying, you know, I'm meant to be doing stand-up comedy, but I'll have to do sit-down comedy because I've been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And that's how he started, and he was looking around, and he thought, right, no one's here that I know. There was about 300 people there. And he got a bit nervous, and my daughter was in the audience, obviously, because she has had a comedy club. She was there with her friends, and she sussed, you know what I mean, that it was this guy, even though we're anonymous in NA and everything. But I'd only told about this music side and everything, and the TV side. So anyway, he got a bit nervous, so she shouted out, "Remember, you're a Womble." And he looked around and he went, "Fucking hell, who's that? Is that Paula?" And that. And he says, after he'd done it, he said, this little girl went up to him and that. And she said, "I'm Paula's daughter." And he went, "Are you a ladder? I've heard loads about you and your comedy and you're covering that." And they hit it off straight away because she's a musician, she's an actress and everything. So they sort of clicked, you know, and I watched his funeral on the link. I couldn't be there. My friends were there. Do you know what? Because I haven't spoke to my daughter for 5 years. What I heard and my friends that are still around, you know, it gets me through. It gets me through waiting till she's ready to come to me. She's had to put boundaries in place. I had an incident where she had to put her boundaries in place with me. You know, so through Jim and Mick and old people, I won't say old timers because I don't class them as being old, but that have been around from the beginning of my journey, I want to thank them. You know, I can't thank Jim in person anymore now, but I can thank Mick. You know what I mean? You've got me through a lot of hard times, Mick, you know, without you even being there. And, you know, when you were busy at the convention, I was very, very ill. I turned up with you know what I mean? You're very busy. And I think I was a bit forthcoming. I just wanted a hug. And, you know, and you were busy and I forced a hug, you know. But again, you know my way. You know that I'm this, like, little mad control freak, you know. And I always want what I want. And I want to get what I get still. You know what I mean? Just like when I was using. And that, you know, but I'm 16 years clean and I know it's just for today. I can pick up any time I want, but I know how detrimental it'll be to me. You know, I'd still take this stuff serious, this recovery. I'm an NA member for life. And again, after that funeral, my grandson's got my Infinity Medallion and I've got an Infinity Medallion here. And my dream is to, and it has been from day one, when we all get asked, "What are your dreams now you're clean? What are your dreams? Write them all down." And do you know what mine was at 40 days clean? That I want to die clean. I want to die clean. And when I found out about the Infinity Medallions and that, I want two putting on my eyes, like the Vikings have coins on their eyes. So my grandson's got one. So when the time comes, he knows what to do, you know, so I'll be there. Hopefully my dream will be true when I pass, that I'll be going with two Infinity Medallions on my eyes. And I mean that, and that's still my only dream. I've got no other dreams in the world. I've got no other dreams. That's my only dream. So I'm sorry for going on, but again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I don't go to face-to-face because I'll cause too much trouble. So I stay Zoom side. It's the best side for me. You know, because I did go before Christmas to two meetings and I caused a bit of a hoo-ha and that, so we won't go there though. So thank you again, everybody that's turned up, and I do miss you all, you know, I do miss you all, and I hope that I can get to the Blackpool Convention again in a better health-wise. So thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Paula.
Thanks, Paula.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Paula.
I've got to accept my powerlessness. And Steve, you've got your hand up. Would you like to share? Please unmute yourself, sir. Jump in.
Thanks, Steve. My name's Steve. I'm an addict.
Hello, Steve. Really nice to see you in the meeting.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Mick, for your share. I remember meeting you at several conventions over the years when I was a bad little youth. And I was struggling with being young in NA and all of that. You get really kind of like helped me by being constantly there all the time. So thanks a lot for your share, Mick. I really appreciate that. On a note about Jim, Jim got clean just after I did. So I'd gone to Lancaster and was at Lancaster University and was terminally unique and convinced that I was the only young person ever to get into recovery. And Jim came to the Lancaster meeting a year after me. And I was clean and not serene, really. But he was a really good friend. And I miss him as a friend. I stayed in touch with him via the miracle of Facebook. But I really miss bumping. I really liked it when I bumped into him at the various conventions. I've just turned 29 years clean this February. So, yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm very sad that he's gone, but I know what legacy he's left behind. So I'm just glad to be here in the meeting with other people who probably know him as well. And I just wanted to share that about him. He was a really nice person, and his legacy is going to live on. So thanks for letting me share. Cheers.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. All right, guys. So the floor is open. Anyone would like to jump in and share, just unmute yourselves and jump in. And just to let you guys know, there is no end to this meeting. It's done when we're done. So we're not setting a closing time. So over plenty of time to share what they feel they'd like to share with us tonight. So please jump in, guys.
Evening, guys. I'm Beth, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Beth. Welcome.
Hi, Beth. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Hello, so much. First time on this meeting. I'm really sorry to hear about your friend, guys. He sounded like an amazing guy. So I'll tell you a bit about myself. I'm from Liverpool. I'm nearly 4 months clean, but I've been in the program since last October. I had a couple of relapses over Christmas and things like that. I'm having a really tough night tonight, if I'm honest with you guys. I just needed to come on a meeting that I hadn't been on before. So basically, 14 years tomorrow, my best mate killed herself. She was heavily involved in drugs. Boyfriend was a drug dealer and, you know, all the sorts of drama that comes with that and things like that. So back at the time, I didn't really take drugs. I didn't really drink either, if I'm honest with you. Like, when I was young, I was the good girl, really, you know, like really normal, had a normal life, had a nice upbringing, things like that. And, you know, you go out with teens and that and drink, but I never did that kind of thing. And it wasn't until my friend died that I started drinking, and then I turned to using cocaine. So my head's all over the place, if I'm honest tonight, guys, because obviously NA is a massive, massive part of my life. And obviously her death is what led me to my disease and led me to my addiction and has now led me here. I don't really know how to describe how I'm feeling. All I can say is my head's all over the place. But basically her family and mutual friends we had, they all turned their backs on me a couple of years ago. Then completely out of the blue, a couple of weeks ago, one of them contacted me and was like, "We've heard you're trying to get clean." And I was like, "Well, actually, I'm 3 months clean." It was literally about 2 days after I picked up my 90-day curing. So it's just crazy, really, guys, because I've been invited to the anniversary tomorrow, but and I'm still sort of sitting here and umming and ahhing it now, but I really don't think I can face it. I think it's going to just be too emotional for me. It's literally going to make my head fall off my shoulders, and I'm absolutely terrified it's going to lead me into having a relapse. So I've got a big decision to make tonight about whether I want to go or not, because, you know, it's people I haven't seen for a long time as well, which makes it even more awkward and difficult. But yeah, I'm going to leave it there tonight, guys. Hope you have a lovely evening. And again, I'm really sorry for the loss of your friend. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Beth. Glad you're here. Keep coming back.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Floor is open, guys.
My name's Tammy and I'm an addict.
Hi, Tammy.
Hello, Tammy.
Hey, everyone. I remember when I first stumbled into the rooms of Higna, and Jim was so prominent to me, his voice, you know? And I remember over the years how he would share himself grateful, no matter how bad he was feeling. He could talk through it and share himself grateful. He never complained about anything. Regardless of everything he's been through, he never, like, made himself a victim or a martyr or anything like that. You know, he was just so amazing. So amazing, you know. And his sayings, my favorite one he had was that shit is in the dictionary between shit and syphilis. I use that with my sponsees, and I hear his voice in my head when I tell him. You know, he was just so, he had such a humor about him, eh? You know, and I'd message him and everything, and he was just so loving and caring and giving and kind. And I miss him. You know, he'd say, he'd message me and, oh, you know, thank you, Angel, because he likes sending in messages and that. And, you know, he'd call me Angel. I just thought that was really sweet, you know. And I think he was a beautiful soul, and he's left a legacy with all of us, I think, with every single one of us, you know. And it's stuff that I feel is a lifelong, eternal legacy that I can pass on, you know. And our acceptance, love, and faith, and he has so much wisdom and humor, you know. And yeah, he got 27 years clean, and you know, that's amazing. I think one day at a time, you know, the life that he lived and everything, it's just amazing that, you know. And he also passed away surrounded by his family, you know. Mick is his family, you know, and everyone knew how much he was loved as well. He really knew how much he was loved by all of us, you know, and that was so important. So, yeah, I feel like I'm rambling now. I want to share my gratitude to you, Mick, and for everyone that's put this this on this evening, and I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Doors open, guys. Just unmute yourselves to share.
I'll come in. I'm Michelle. I'm an addict.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome.
Thank you. First time on this meeting, but I do quite a lot of online meetings, and I'd like to thank the group for putting this on. And I've just taken somebody through tradition two, and you know, we spoke about leaders being trusted servants; they do not govern. And you know, I got clean in the North West Fellowship, and to me, Jim and Mick were leaders in our fellowship. They were trusted servants and they did not govern. And I'm here tonight to honour my predecessors. You know, Tradition 12 talks about we're all equal. However, it doesn't stop us from honouring our predecessors, because for me, I'm so thankful to my predecessors. And thanks, Mick, for your share. It must have been quite difficult for you, you know, talking about, you know, your sponsee who's passed away. And, you know, but I'd like to thank Mick and Jim, because I'm a big H&I warrior. Tradition 5 is my favourite tradition. And to me, you know, serving on H&I is the pinnacle of Tradition 5, carrying the message to people who, you know, can't get out to hear it. And, you know, I learned so much from Jim in the early days about H&I. And I can remember he used to go into Lancaster Castle. And I can remember when I was in a rehab, Lancaster prison, they created a 12-step rehab probably through H&I. And I can remember when I was in the rehab, some of the prison officers were actually in the rehab training. Yeah. And, you know, I learned so much. My partner, who passed away the other year, he was really good friends with Jim, and he used to go up to his house, you know, in Lancaster. And my partner used to go to Malawi a lot to do some work over there. So they had a common theme, you know, about African music. You know, and as Mick was sharing, I was getting a lot of flashbacks about Jim. I think it's... The last time I saw Jim was 2014, because I moved to a different area about 16 years ago. But I'm still an NA, you know, and, you know, for the grace of God, I'll have 25 years next Saturday. And it's quite frightening that I'm going to become a predecessor at some stage. But, yeah, I just wanted to honour Jim for all his H&I service, and I learned so much off him, you know, when I was on the H&I committee in Blackpool, and I've been able to bring that into my own H&I service. I go into America every week, and I serve on H&I on teams in a prison in California. I've served on the H&I committee in Liverpool. And, yeah, I've done a lot. I've served on H&I for years, and, you know, I learnt a lot from Mick as well, who shared tonight, and through Jim. Anyway, I'll leave it there. And thanks for listening.
Bless you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Awesome. Door is open, folks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ellie. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi. Share. Thank you, Mick. I always wondered what you sounded like. I know Jim was very, very fond of you. And he, you know, the things that he used to share, the little things that he did in the meeting, after the meeting, beginning the reading, when he would read Who's an Addict, always cracked me up. Jim and I were friends. We related over art. I'm an artist, and I had given him some artwork. I sent him a print, actually. And, you know, he encouraged me to continue working. I know his favorite, he told me his favorite color was blue. I hope that's what was true, but he liked one of my paintings. I love the fact that we bonded over music. We bonded over gorillas. I would always send him photos of gorillas whenever I saw them. We bonded over cats, because I know that he had his cat. And it was just a really nice friendship that he and I shared. You know, I shared some stuff with him that I don't always share with everybody. And he was just very helpful, very loving, very kind, always very kind. But most of all, you know, and warm, you know. And I know people say that after somebody dies, you know, what a great person they were. And he was. When he would share his story about, he'd always say, I was a nasty piece of work. I said, Jim, I don't believe that. I can't even see it. I can't even fathom it. You know, I still feel his presence. I still hear him. Grateful to know him, and I'll always think about him. He's a big part of my heart. So thanks for letting me share, everybody. Share the time.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thanks, Ellie.
You,
Ellie. I'm Christine. I'm an addict.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to say anything in this meeting or not, because I feel like there's people here that knew Jim a lot better than I did. But, you know, I just want to say that one of the bits of service that he did was start Our Illness and him and a couple of people started Our Illness and Recovery meeting in on Hignor, which is on a Thursday night. And particularly since we've moved to Zoom, but well before that anyway, we get people from all over the world who rely on being able to come to that particular meeting and share honestly what their lives are like living with a secondary illness while maintaining recovery. And I was very fortunate in that I was introduced to illness. And I got sick when I was about 5 years clean. And I always knew the benefit of illness and recovery. I think it was probably the only one in the country at the time. It was in the London Lighthouse. And it helped me so much when I first got ill. What I had was not life-threatening. It was never going to kill me, but it had a pretty good job. It did a pretty good job of torturing me. And I didn't know how I was going to be able to stay clean through it. And the example of people that I knew from that meeting really helped. And, you know, what everyone has said, you know, Jim's, all of those sayings that he had, I'll never, ever again. He started every day by reading the Just for Today reading, not the one that, I mean, the Just for Today, I will have a programme, or I will get a better perspective on my life. You know, he started the day, every day, by reading that, and he shared that often, and I will never, ever hear that reading again without thinking of Jim, and it has become my favourite reading because it, well, I know I'm not alone in this. I go through it. Fear is a big thing for me a lot of the time. And, you know, Just for Today, I will be unafraid. I can even manage that a lot of days these days, you know. And we shared the smoking issue as well. I've had some very desperate attempts to stop smoking, very serious attempts, but I'm still smoking. And I'm powerless, and I just pray to my higher power for whatever it takes for me to stop again. You know, I've stopped and started over the years. And there's something else I wanted to say. I can't remember it now, but, you know, I was very fond of Jim. I am very fond of Jim. A spirit like that, I know what it was, a spirit like that doesn't go any place. And I know how afraid Jim used to share, that he wasn't afraid of dying, but he was afraid of how he died. And I know about that fear of his, that he would die alone. And when I heard that he was in the hospice and you were at his bedside, Mick, I was so grateful. Not that I had imagined anything else, because I got a real sense of the relationship that the two of you had. And yeah, I'm really grateful he didn't die in fear and alone. I think he was frightened it would happen when he was at home and there was nobody there. And I'm getting on and I live alone and I can understand that. And, you know, I'm glad that when the end was coming, he didn't suffer for too long either. He was a stubborn man about taking medication to help with his pain. A few of us tried to have a conversation with him about that, but he wouldn't have it, you know. And that was his way, and I respected that. And he respected that some of us make different choices. So, yeah, that's all I've got to say, really. Thank you very much, Mick, for coming along and starting off the sharing. And thank you for everything that you did for our gym. And I will leave it there. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, guys. Love you.
Thank you, Christine.
Love you, Christine. Thank you, Christine.
I'm Joanne Manadet.
Hi, Joanne.
Thanks for this lovely meeting. And yeah, was lovely. Thanks, Mick, being gym sponsor. Thanks for your lovely share as well. And, you know, I was thinking as people were sharing, like, am I going to share? I've lit a candle at the start of the meeting. I think I knew I was going to share, but I there's so much like little things that I could share of, you know, that represents Jim and how we knew him, and, you know, people can identify with that. And what's been shared, you know, his little sayings, and just as people have been sharing in the meeting, like I've been getting like shivers, you know, down my arms. And yeah, from what I can remember, you know, from memory of Jim, you know, when I first came to the online meetings, I also have chronic health conditions. And I remember him very clearly being, you know, in doing service in the illness and recovery meeting. And he was quite in, you know, he did quite a lot of service in that. He used to chair it. He chaired that meeting for years. You know, he actually helped create the meeting and get it started, you know, and that was, I know that was really important to him. And I was kind of a bit in despair with my health conditions. You know, I'd come from face-to-face meetings. I'd joined the online meetings. And I remember him being so supportive, you know, because I could identify, you know, with the chronic pain. And, you know, I could tell with Jim that he had empathy and, you know, he'd stay behind, he'd speak to people. And you just knew that, like, he was just a genuine, honest, decent guy, you know, and that's how I think of Jim. You know, when you meet a character and, I mean, he was humble as well. You know, he wouldn't want to be on like any pedestal. You know, he's a humble, decent guy, like people have shared, who would just help anybody. And there's, you know, there's a couple of little sayings he had that made me smile. He spoke very highly of you, Mick, you know, his sponsor. He said he could ring you anytime, day or night. I remember him saying that. And he used to say that quite a lot, you know, and I know that meant the world to him. It meant a lot to him. But yeah, there was a story that he used to tell, and it was to do with his higher power. And he used to say, I know I've shared this over and over, but I'm going to share it again. And he was at his very first convention, and he was struggling, like we all do, with the higher power, you know, when we first come around. And I think, I'm sure he said he was sat with his sponsor, and, you know, his sponsor nudged him and said, you know, he said, what if I was going to relapse today? And his sponsor nudged him and said, see all these people around you, if you asked them, would they help you if you relapse, like how many people would care? And, you know, a shot of hands would go up. And he said, that's a higher power bigger than you, Jim. Yeah, you know, and he could tell it so much better. But, you know, I always remember him telling that. And, you know, it kind of like landed with me because, you know, the power of that, obviously that helped him with his higher power. Yeah, and, you know, he used to tell that quite a bit. And obviously, like him with his music, if he was in pain or having a bad day, he'd say, I just turn my music up, you know. And then he'd say, what if it's really shit, you know, you're having a bad day, but what about when it's really shit, you know? And it was just his warmth, like, and he was funny, you know. I remember watching a YouTube, a stand-up, but it wasn't a stand-up, it was a sit-down comedy, and straight away, you know, that's like my kind of humour, and I just found it really funny, you know. And he stuck around, you know, he stuck around in the meetings. He kept coming back. We all loved him. And, you know, we used to share himself grateful, and people like would just be drawn to him. Like even like his own little sayings like that, you know, and I know he will be dearly missed. He is dearly missed, you know, and I've lit a candle tonight. And, you know, like many have shared, I'm just glad he had you, Mick, his sponsor. I've not met you, but, you know, he had you. He spoke highly of you, and I'm just so grateful he had you there with him. You know, when I heard that, I just thought that was beautiful how you said he was family. Yeah, so, you know, in honour of Jim, I think, you know, this fellowship have done him proud, like with just, you know, with this meeting especially. And I know I didn't get to see his funeral, and yeah, I missed his funeral, but there was no way I was going to miss this meeting. So yeah, I'm grateful to be here. And in honour of Jim, you know, I just think it's a beautiful tribute. So yeah, I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Love you, Joanne.
Thanks, Joanne.
Thanks, Joanne.
My name is Dave. I'm an addict.
Oh, Dave. Nice to see you. Welcome, sir.
Hi, Dave.
Thank you. And glad to be here as the token American in this group. Oh, that might be another one in there. Anyway, you know, I first met Jim. It might have been this meeting, except I think it was on Blue Jeans. It was a couple, 2-3 years ago. And Steve asked me to speak. And boy, after the meeting, I'm sitting there, I'm chatting, and Jim had shared something that I really liked, and we talked, and we just really hit it off, and so we started talking on Messenger, just messaging each other, and then had some phone conversations on Messenger, and you know, we'd mostly just talk about music and art and Premier League. I'm kind of a Man City fan. And I was just looking through some of the notes from back then, you know, I think about him. I think about him quite a bit in our conversations. And on Friday, May 24th, which I believe is the day he passed, yes, I was in my dentist's office. It was in the morning, which we're 7 hours ahead or behind you guys here. And I started thinking about him. I thought, it's been a little while since I've talked to him. I should give him a call today. And I got home from the dentist's office and looked at Facebook and saw he had passed. And it made me sad, but it was just kind of interesting that day, that morning, out of the blue, I thought I should talk to him. I should look him up. I should see. And I don't know. Maybe that was kind of a way of Jim, I don't know, spirit connecting or just, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but I will miss Jim. And I'm loving hearing all of these stories about him and people who've known him longer and better than I. But in just the little bit of time we talked, I felt like we made a really good connection, and that, from what I'm hearing, just seems so, Jim. And so with that, I will mute. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Good to see you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Hi, I'm Claire. I'm an addict.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Claire. Oh,
good to see you.
Oh, hi, everyone. I really loved that share, Mick. I first met you, or first heard you. I was in a treatment centre back in 2005, I think it was, and we'd all been made to go to, it was New Year's Eve, and we'd been made to go to this NA New Year's Eve, sort of like unity night sort of thing. And it was in a treatment centre in Oldham, and it was like a great big old Victorian house. So when you did the main share, Mick, it was like there were lots of people stood up coming out the hall, really, because the room wasn't that big. And I was in this treatment centre, and I was the only girl addict in there. The other women were sort of like older ladies, and they were all alcoholics. And I sort of, you know, I had a bit of a swagger. I still had that something. They used to call them ladettes back in my day, where you're like a tomboy sort of thing. And you shared something really, really personal. And I'm stood outside in the hall, this ladette that's quite tough and stuff like that. And I passed out. It was like the room all went spinning and stuff like that with what you shared. And I thought to myself, you know, I got picked up and everyone was checking and was all right. Some people thought I was using, all that type of thing. So there was, all hell broke loose when I got back in the treatment centre. But I thought to myself, I really need to keep away from that guy. You know, my street cred had just gone out the window as I slid down the wall. But I met you again at a Sunday meeting, I think, over in Chorley. And it was a tiny, tiny meeting. And me and my mates had turned up for it. I can't remember why. And, you were just dead lovely and welcoming. And Jim always spoke dead highly of you. And, he saying you were his only sponsor. And I still can't get my head around that bit, that how can someone have the same sponsor all the way through? You know, I don't know how many sponsors I've actually had. I don't know if once they get to know me, I sort of get scared and push them away. I'm not sure what it is, but it was my sponsor, Sean, that introduced me to Jim. We'd set up an illness in recovery meeting over in Salford. And as you can imagine, an illness in recovery meeting, there weren't many people that attended it because most of the time we were all ill. But there were a good few weeks of me, Jim and Sean being there. And he used to travel all the way from Lancaster or wherever it was to support us with that meeting. And it was around that time that my son's dad died. And Jim really supported me. And I used to be a United fan. But when my son's dad died, my ex-partner, he was a real diehard City fan. And I knew that one of his wishes would be that I keep bringing my son up as a City fan. And Jim, you know, obviously was a really big City fan, and he taught me through the players. He eventually met my son at a convention, and we gave him, we went to see City come home, me and my son, and it was Jim who was on the phone to, you know, City had won the treble, and I had the bottle to get on the bus, even though I was ill, and take my son to see City come home. And yeah, that's the time I remember Jim the most. And I called him my City Blue Angel. I know the colour blue has been mentioned. I know Tammy mentioned about being him calling her Angel, but it was like he was, to me, a City Blue Angel. And these, you know, real avid City fans, there's a saying, and it's, you know, City till I die. And City had won something that weekend. My son's still the City fan, goes to matches even on his own. I've dwindled off a little bit, but I know that City had won something big the weekend that he died. So, yeah, I'm just really glad to have been part of this meeting, glad to have known Jim along the way. And I always, you know, I used to message him saying, Jim, how do you not have self-pity? And I'm really envious that my mates are all going out and I can't because I'm ill. And he just used to say to me, Claire, stop giving yourself such a hard time. And I used to be sort of like, when am I going to be like you? And he just was dead full of love and acceptance when I can't accept myself, especially. So, yeah, I'm going to miss him. And I really go back and think fondly of the memories we had in Manchester City. So I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for letting me share.
Claire, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
Glad you're here. Door is open, folks.
I'm an addict. My name's Heidi.
Hello, Heidi. Welcome back, my friend. Hey. Good to see you.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi,
Heidi.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you. Thank you for putting this meeting on, and thanks to Higna. And Mick, thanks so much for your share. It must be really difficult to kind of share, and it kind of makes me sort of also kind of think that, you know, my longest sponsee is nearly been sponsee for nearly 20 years. I'm really nervous. I don't know why. It's like I've come home. It's like I'm hearing all these familiar voices, but I feel really nervous, and I don't normally feel very nervous. So I can kind of identify with it, Mick, because, you know, my sponsees, he's going through dementia. He's had a couple of cancer scares and stuff like that. And you know, Jim, I think I met Jim when the illness and recovery meeting first started. I think it was about 2:15 April. I don't know if it was the first meeting or second meeting. And like Jim I think, was chairing it. My memory's kind of vague, so I'm going to try not to lie too much or make stuff up. But, yeah, I can only really echo a lot what other people kind of shared. I mean, Jim always shared like what it was like when he first come to NA, and in comparison to what I seen as somebody else, I just could not believe this kind of angry, aggressive, you know, telling everybody to fuck off away from him, and this hostile person. And I just really seen this kind of real gentle, peaceful kind of soul. And I was laughing when Joe was sharing, because like that nugget of gold with you sat with him at a convention. I tried to share that at a speaker jam, and I just fucked it right up. So like, if I go out and use, and like all these people like looking around like a bit funny, and I kind of messed it up, and I get it about a power greater than yourself in them early days, you know, sat in a convention. You know, if you wanted to use, how many people would help you in there? And yeah, he'd always share himself grateful. He just had these kind of little nuggets of gold that he'd kind of share, and then he'd as Joe shared, he'd always come to an end of sharing himself grateful. And he shared a lot about his like kind of holidays and his music, even though sort of music tastes were different. I mean, we talked a lot about his Cuba experience and just kind of how wonderful and, you know, kind of dressing up in kind of white. I don't know if he went with his second wife and all the cars and stuff, and he sent me loads of pictures, and we talked about it, because it was just such an amazing experience. And then he shared me, he was an entertainer. I mean, he was just vibrant. You know, he'd get in these zones and share these stories, and he kind of reminded me that the stories at the end of like the two Ronnies, like Jim would kind of have this spotlight over him, and he just engaged you. And the same with like the comedy stuff. But one thing really surprised me, that he was the drummer for Alexa Sale, and I used to love Alexa Sale. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, as the addict brain's like, oh mate, can you get me to meet him? Can I get his autograph and stuff like that? I mean, I just absolutely loved him. And Jim was consistent as hell in this meeting. And he always fucking read Who's an Addict. I always want the shortest reading. Jim was there. He kind of read it out all the time. And, and like others have shared, you know, I'd hit a place in my recovery where I got seriously ill and, you know, lost mobility, and I no longer could do face-to-face meetings. And I like what you shared, Mick, around that, because I get a lot of flack about doing kind of online stuff. And like somebody else shared, I do online H&I into the prisons and stuff like that. So, like, you know, I've been doing service online for about 8 years, and I'm really grateful to the guys in there that have done the service. Do you know what I mean? I won't mention their names, but it's great to see you guys in this meeting, and NA at home as well. It's really blessed to have you guys in my life, and I'm just really sort of grateful at the moment. And you know, sad about Jim. I haven't really had much contact with him in the last few years, just kind of the way life kind of goes. And he's just such a funny man. He just made me chuckle all the time. And he shared about his fags. I mean, it was just a it was Achilles heel for him, wasn't it? It's just like a bloody chain smoker. And yeah, but you know, the ultimate goal, as somebody else has shared, you know, we kind of live clean and we want to die clean. That's the ultimate goal. Well, for me, I can't speak for all of us, but I hope that is the kind of goal, really. And, you know, I was grateful to all his service, you know, and other members in this group throughout that time in illness and recovery, because it was life-saving for me at that time. You know, a lot of kind of my support network, you know, didn't contact me, didn't message me, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I've grown another sort of I think it's string to my bow, doing kind of online stuff. And it was life-saving for me. You know, I was in a right difficult kind of stage where my life just changed dramatically over one operation. And, you know, when you're regularly kind of doing stuff in life, work, family, NA and stuff, and you can't do it, it's, you know, luckily that we adjust and we got those transferable skills. But I'm just going to end, because it was always a thing that I didn't share, and I know that I call them long-timers in it. always challenged me. They always challenged me, and so I'm going to share it. I was 24 years on. I can't even remember when it was. I think Wednesday was it? Yeah, it was Wednesday. So I only shared my clean time last year. It just kind of felt a bit like a game or a secret, because people wanted to know. So I've really been killed and overwhelmed with kind of love and appreciation for the last few days. And I'm really grateful to you guys and girls that are here, you know, done service like Jim done here, and kind of rung me and kind of spoke to me and kind of checked in with me. I mean, you know, that's what we're doing. It's our common welfare. So with that, I love you all.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Welcome home, Eddie.
Amazing.
Newcomer.
Great stuff. Well done on your 24.
Awesome. Floor's open, guys, and welcome those that have joined us. You know, just to remind people, we're just going to run till we're done. So please jump in and share with us. Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name's Lisa.
Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. Hi. Hello, everyone. We wanted to share, but I'm so emotional. A really big lump in my throat. It's been so beautiful to listen to everyone's, you know, memories of Jim. I love this. And thank you, Mick, for starting off the shares as well. This is a beautiful tribute to Jim. I don't even know what to start. Jim and me became very close friends over the last 4 years. I kind of wandered into these meetings, the HICNA meetings, 4 years ago. No prior knowledge of any. Terrified, you know, completely desperate. Just needed help. And I really found that here at HICNA. I'm quite isolated. I live in a very isolated part of the world. I live in Shetland, but more so than that, I've got severe health conditions that have left me pretty much bedbound for the most part. And so, of course, online meetings, like, if it wasn't for places like HICNA, I wouldn't have had anywhere to go. And I'm just really grateful that I found this. And me and Jim connected over that straight away. He was, you know, he had his own health problems, and he was pretty much in the same position as me. And he really just, he just reached out to me. You know, it started off, I loved coming to a meeting and hearing his voice. I'd look for him in the meeting to see, because I loved when he was in the meeting. He was so, like, warm and encouraging, welcoming and loving. And I always felt like I'd feel really good after I shared. And then he'd be like, you know, like, oh, well done, honest, really honest. And I'd be like, oh my God, Jim thinks I've been really honest. Oh my God, I just thought that was so exciting. It was like somebody, you know, he noticed me. And he was like, it was like he was saying, you know, you matter. And then he would kind of phone me up occasionally to begin with. And Well, I don't know how occasionally it was. I can't really remember. But it was kind of like you'd phone me up and he'd be like, you know, we've been speaking every day, every Wednesday for like the last few months. And will we just make Wednesday at 10 a.m. our official date of the week? And I was like, yes. And I felt so honored that this, you know, like I came with Denny, I thought I was the lowest form of life. I thought, you know, like I just felt like a piece of shit. I didn't know why anybody wanted to talk to me. And here was this guy with, you know, these couple of decades plus clean, you know, a really cool guy that wanted to talk to me and put in that effort to talk to me. It felt like a real privilege. It really did feel like a real privilege right up until the day that I last spoke to him. Well, I mean, it still felt like a privilege. But, you know, we really kind of kept each other afloat. We really were able to lean on each other. And I think both of us really needed that connection, because it can be very lonely and isolating to be housebound and, you know, has his own set of challenges. And we could just relate to each other about so many things that most people would never understand. And we were so similar. Like, it doesn't look similar on the outside. I mean, there was a massive age difference between us. But it was just like this beautiful, you know, this beautiful friendship that I felt like we had this soul connection, you know, like soulmates, but not in the romantic sense. Just felt like we were supposed to find each other. And we were just so similar. It was crazy. And he would say the whole time, oh, that's another thing we have in common. It's like, I never knew that I'd have so much in common with you. And yeah, so we spoke every Wednesday, and then it turned into every Wednesday and Sunday, because it just wasn't enough once a week. And we would see each other in meetings on certain days every week. And I still keep looking for his name when I come into meetings. And then I'm like, oh, God, yeah, wait. And like Wednesday and Sunday mornings, it's like I'm waiting at 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh, he's going to phone soon. And then I'm like, oh, no, he's not. So what I've started doing is listening to, you know, like one of his songs, just having that moment to connect with him. It's like there's so much I want to tell him about every day, all day. Because we spoke about everything. You know, we spoke about our recoveries. We spoke about our health a lot. We had very deep conversations about health and death and, you know, our fears. We spoke a lot about films and music. We both loved films and music. And, you know, I don't know, it's just lovely to have somebody who was really interested in me. And I was really interested in him. And I don't know, it's just, yeah, I'm really grateful that I had that opportunity to, I feel like he really taught me what friendship looks like. I keep wanting to apologize because I'm crying, and then I hear Jim in my head. He would say, he'd be like, oh, I'm getting emotional, and there's nothing wrong with that. I remember the first time I heard him say that, and I thought, holy shit. Like, here's this like man saying it's okay to be emotional. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. I'd never heard anybody say anything like that. You know, I was growing up, it was like, you know, shut up. Don't talk about your feelings. Don't feel. I don't want to, like, your feelings are interfering with my life. It was kind of that vibe. And he was just like, no, there's nothing wrong with it. You know? So, yes. He's been a really big part of my life this last 4 years. And I don't quite know what I'm going to do without him. I miss him so much. And like I was saying, yeah, everything reminds me of him, and I want to tell him. And one of my friends said, you know, like, why don't you have a gym box? So like I've got a God box. I can put things in for my higher power to deal with the things I need to turn over. She was like, get a gym box, and like anything you want to say to him, to write it down and put it in that. So I might do that. I thought that actually sounds really nice. And I, you know, it's like I keep trying to remind myself, like, okay, he's still with me. Because I do feel him with me. Like, I feel his spirit really, really strongly. And I know that he's in a better place. Like, I know he was really struggling these last few months. I mean, for the last few years, it's been a rough time for him. But these last few months, you know, it was just getting really bad. And, you know, we spoke about death an awful lot. And I know that that's what he was hoping for. You know, I know that he would just, you know, like, know that. I don't want to let him go. I don't want that. But, like, that's what he needed. And yeah, it's just about getting used to life without him in that way. Like, without his physical presence. But isn't it amazing, like, what an effect someone can have on your life even when you've never met them in person? Like, that's a really incredible thing. Like, the connection that we had ran so deep. But we never met each other in person. I saw him on video a few times, but most of it was over the phone or on meetings like this. But, like, I don't know. The connection with him, it was just as strong as any other friendship I've had. It's stronger, you know. Like, he really was, like, my best friend. You know, somebody I could really rely on. And his voice just runs through my head all the time. I hear him say certain things, and, like, a lot of people have shared, you know, he had certain things he said a lot, you know. Tell yourself, Jim, get a fucking program. Like, I hear that in my head, and I know it's supposed, I should be changing it to, like, tell yourself, Lisa. I can't do that. I can only hear it as, tell yourself, Jim. Get a better perspective on your life if you possibly can. Like, I hear all these things that he said. He was just a very impactful person. He had a really strong presence and a really beautiful, like, energy. And he's impacted my life in so many ways. And I'm glad that I got here when I did, so that I had the opportunity to get to know him in the way that I did. Have that friendship, because I will carry that life. I really will. He really, really was just an incredible human being. I used to say to him, like, you're one of my all-time favorite humans, Jim. And he really was. And I'm so glad that Mick was with him at the end. And you know, but at that point I got to meet Mick as well, which was lovely because I'd heard so much about him, but I'd never gotten to speak to him or anything. And so it's been great to connect with Mick. To know he was with Jim was so just everything, you know. Jim would always just be so grateful for Mick and you know, the friendship and love that he offered him. You know, it was, you know, family. And also really grateful for Hikna. You know, Jim would often say, I'm eternally grateful for these online meetings. Eternally grateful. You know, these meetings were so important to him. Like, it was shared, you know, he started the illness recovery meeting on Hikna, and he just loved being a part of Hikna, of the NA fellowship. He loved NA. He was so grateful for NA and being clean right up until the end. And he's taught me an awful lot. So I believe it there. Thank you, Steve, Jay, everyone, for your service. Thank you, Mick, for your sharing. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sending you
pictures. I'm Debs and I'm an addict.
Hello. Hi, Debs.
Debs.
Hello.
Hi,
Debs.
Hello.
Hi, Debs.
Good to be here. Not here very often, but not very, very often at all, but it is good to be here. It's been quite moving It's been very moving listening to people's stories of Jim. I know certainly people in the room who knew Jim better than me, but I did know him. And I can't quite remember where Jim and I first met. I just remember hearing him share. It would have been in a Higna meeting, and I remember hearing him share and thinking, oh, I like you. You're making me smile. And reaching out to him, I think I'd spoke to him at the end of the meeting and realised he was on other social media platforms, and we became friends. And as I think our friends in America said, we shared a love of music and a love of art. Although Jim's favourite genre was considerably different in the early days to mine. But he introduced me to a lot of music I'd never heard of, in particular Joe Bonham Massa, and I'm a big fan of that now. And we just spoke, you know. He used to send me a lot of music links, and oddly I was Jim was I live in Cumbria, Jim was born in Cumbria, I believe, at Windermere. So we had and I've got two dogs going cheap if anybody wants the bloody things, but he had a love of the area, Jim, as most of you know, lived in Lancashire, and I was born and raised for part of my life in Lancashire, so there was a very common northern connection going on. And periodically, we'd share music and tag me in it, and I'd share stuff back to him and tag him in it, and periodically would say to me, can I ring you? And he was always on haven't spoken to him for a long while, but it was always on a Sunday evening on Messenger, and we'd have a laugh and a chat, and just stuff in general. He'd make me laugh, and I'd be telling him what I'd been up to and how shit the weather was up north, because it's always shit up north, and just stuff like that. But I liked him. Do you know what I mean? I liked him. He made me smile. And funnily, I was driving back from his funeral on Thursday, and I'd got my Spotify thing wired into the car. The technology is getting away with me, really. I've just bought a new car, and the technology, and it's just totally blown my brains away. But I download music onto my phone and plug it in, and it plays what I want to listen to. And Steve Harley and the Cockney Rebels came on, You've Got It All. And I just kept playing it, and I just thought, Jim, this is for you. You've done it all. and I smiled all the way back to Cumbria. And I loved the guy to bits. I really did. And it's coming up 2 years ago now, believe it or not, for those of you that know me of old, it's nearly 2 years since I lost my sister. 16 years ago, I got clean, and... without her, I wouldn't be sat here. There's no two ways about that. She never stopped believing. Mel, I spoke to Mel three times a day, every single day. And if we didn't speak three times a day, if it wasn't on Messenger or via phone, then we would panic, think something was wrong with each other. That's how close we were. She finished off what I was saying, or I finished off what she was saying. We were absolutely glued at the hip. And on the 29th March 2022, she was diagnosed with brain cancer, and she passed 5 days after her 52nd birthday. She died in my arms. It's still very painful. And 5 months after that, I lost my dad. And so I now live with my mum, who's frail. And life has not been easy. And Jim knew this, obviously, and... he tried to support me as best he could when Mel had died, but I went straight from burying her to looking after Dad, who was old. He was 82, and he'd one health. You know, he really was a Steve Harley and a Cockney Rebel. That's another story. And he reached out to me. The last time I actually spoke to him online, physically spoke to him, was not long after Dad had died, and he asked if he could call, and he did, and... you know, Jim was very much in the same boat. My understanding is he'd lost his parents, and there probably wasn't that much time between that and losing his only sibling. And I said to him, Jim, you know, I'm going to be the last man standing. And it frightens me. And he said, he says, there's nothing to be frightened of. You've got a lot of friends and a lot of people around you, and it's not as bad as you think it is. And I kept saying to him, I must get my house in order. You know, if anything happens to me, and God forbid my poor mother's the last man standing, it finish it. She just wouldn't know where to start. And it wasn't, you know, we ended up having a laugh, and as always with Jim, you know, he stuck a smile on my face, but it wasn't the easiest of conversation. But the other thing that has really struck me tonight, and it's I'm terrible with dates, but you know, I mean, look at all the people in the room, and we're all here talking about Jim. 14 years ago, I don't know, Steve will jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but 14 years ago or 13 years ago, Steve walked into a meeting that I was chairing. And it was the same scenario. He shared, and I thought, I like you. And I pounced again. And we've been friends ever since. And he started turning up to these meetings and doing service pretty quick, because the meetings I was chairing then, I mean, I think I'd got 18 months clean then, and most people had got sort of 6 months if they were lucky. I was chairing about four nights a week, because nobody else would do it, or nobody's got clean time to do it. But the politics and the crap was just, you know, I couldn't get on and recover, and I'd about had enough of it. And anyway, because we're a long story short, I spoke to Steve. He did some service there, and we both felt the same, so we jumped ship. And it sounds real easy, you know, like you jump ship, and well, we're going to do our own thing. And we're going to set up our own meeting, and Steve had got the technology in his brain of how we could do that, and I just went along for the ride. You know, he's the brains. I just sat there and looked good, you know. And but it's not that easy. You know, I can remember sitting in these meetings. We decided we would have three meetings a week. Come what may, we would chair a meeting. If nobody rocked up, that was it. And you've got to keep going. Because we're both in isolation. And, you know, the primary purpose of the group was to reach out to people, just like Lisa. Living in the Shetlands, Steve was in the Hebrides, I live in the highest point in the North Pennines. People say, well, you get to a meeting, you can't in winter, it's physically impossible. And I can remember one day a guy walked in who I've never seen him since, but my understanding was he was sat right up at the top of the tree in NA world, and he was shockingly polite and played by the rules and all this, but the basic message was, you've made your point now, stop pissing around and cancel this meeting. You know, and it basically gave me, it told me off, you know, you're being a bloody idiot and this, that and the other. And, you know, Steve and I, between us, hosted or sat and chaired a lot of meeting where there was just two of us in the meeting, but we kept going. And Steve worked really hard behind the scenes because he was better connected in the NA world than me at that time. And, well, probably still, well, he still is. There's no, probably still is about it. And here we are, Steve. Look at all these people. Look at, you know, it's really hit me hard tonight that what we worked hard to create has brought so many wonderful people into these rooms, including Jim. People like Jim have made such a massive impact. I mean, even this week, through Jim, I have met Mick. And I'd never have met Mick if Jim hadn't passed. So even in death, Jim is still doing work for the good, because Mick's another one of those people on my list of, I like Mick, he's all right. so he's on my tick list, and I'm trying to help him if I can. But it just serves to really, for some reason, has really hit me hard tonight, listening to all the stories, looking at all you wonderful people who've all connected and all found and shared love with people like Jim, and no doubt other people, because of the fact that Steve and I sat down and created a platform. And I find that incredibly humbling and incredibly moving. When I lost my sister, I thought that my life would end, and I I did two. I learned as she was dying that you can do one of two things. You can either be incredibly sad that somebody is gone and try, or you can take things from it and move on with it. I planned her funeral, and at the end of her order of service, I included a poem. It's a very short poem, and I'm going to be. And it reminds me of how we can all treat this. I'm not the greatest orator, I must admit, and probably not that great at saying what I want to say. But it's a very short poem. I'm going to end by reading it to you because it's how I've chosen to go on. You can shed a tear that he is gone, or you can smile because he has lived. You can close your eyes and pray that he will come back, or you can open your eyes and see all that he has left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see him, or you can be full of the love that you shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember him and only that he is gone, or you can cherish his memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what he would want, smile, open your eyes, love and go on. Thank you.
Thank you, Debs.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, Deb.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debs. I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Nice to see some people I haven't seen in a while. 80, congratulations on your claim time. It's amazing that each and every one of us can get clean, can lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And that's how we get to meet. Because that's why we come to these rooms. And for those, I'm gonna talk about something. I don't know how much I'm gonna talk about the stories that I have with Jim. I watched him come in to Higna. I remember me coming into Higna. I remember being involved in second year of this fledgling platform on Skype. And the fact that the technology was there, that we could have meetings, and the fact that one of the members told me about possibly another meeting down in Australia. This is before Jim got here. And the fact that my first sponsor, I've had two sponsors in my recovery. One was for the first couple of years. The other one was for 36 years. And the first sponsor that I had, I still talk to him. And he's been gone 40 plus years. But he taught me things that nobody else could have taught me at the time that he taught me. And I still hear his voice when the sayings that he said, and there's one in particular for me that he drove into my head that first year. As long as you don't use, there's hope. And he said that, I can't count the number of times that he said it. But when times have been tough, in my recovery. And there have been many times that have been interesting. And his voice comes back. He died from this disease. They found him with a needle in his arm in a closet in Boston. And somebody mentioned that they thought about calling Jim the day that he died. I knew the day that my sponsor passed. I didn't know. I mean, something just felt different. I didn't know what was going on, but somebody, his sponsor, called me and told me they had found him. And I really wasn't using him at that point as a sponsor because I was in Florida and he was in Boston. But that first 18 months of my recovery without him, I would have never met any of you. That's how impactful people can be in this program. I mean, we come here and we share our experience, our feelings. I mean, me and Jim had some outrageous conversations. We swapped music on a regular basis. He read How It Works when he walked into these rooms. That was his reading. It wasn't until the first stroke that he changed. He loved this fellowship. We spoke on the phone, probably not as often as we should have, because I really liked them. But life is busy. I mean, and sometimes it doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day to do everything you want to do and get it all done. For me, I deal with what's in front of me. I mean, for me, these meetings, I started these meetings 12 plus years ago. I mean, and I have not looked back. I don't, if I never go to another face-to-face meeting, I wouldn't care. I don't need a face-to-face meeting. Will I go? Yeah. At some point, probably. But I get everything. I have gotten everything that I've needed to maintain my recovery. The ability to go to meetings whenever I need to. And that's what's neat about this. And Jim had that ability. He could pop into a meeting. We were here. We used to joke about, if you don't show up, we're not going to have a meeting. That's what I think about. Because he always showed up. He's not gone. He has transitioned and it's his words will always be remembered. As long as we don't forget, that's what keeps everyone alive. And we will all see him again at some point. Because that's how it works. None of us get out of here alive. The finality of it is we all transition. We all go on to the next part of the journey, whatever that is for each and every one of us. So I know I will see Jim again. I know that I will see John again. And it really is funny because my first sponsor was a musician that played with one of the band, well, played with a named band as a player. And I was never impressed with the fact that he did that. And I was like, okay, cool. Doesn't matter. He was an addict. And he touched me. And he had 6 months more than I did, and that's what I needed at that point. People come in and out of our lives when we need them. So, and my second sponsor, I'll see him again too, because he's been gone for a while. But I know he's with his sponsor because his sponsor passed a while before he did. And they're all sitting there in the meeting, just like we are right here. Except they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope about how they're doing today. Have a great day, a great afternoon, a great evening. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks,
Jay. Thank you, Jay.
Big hugs.
Laura's still open, guys. Guess I'll jump in. I'm an addict. My name's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, hello, Steve.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Hi, Steve.
I'm kind of lost for words a bit. I'll thank everyone for sharing what they've shared about Jim and about their own experience with their lives and their recoveries and how important it is, you know, that we have these places where we can come and share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. I've been thinking, I mean, all, you know, those that know me know, I've been thinking about Jim a lot. In the last little while, you know, and, part of me is sad. I'd actually always planned to. I knew I was going to be in Liverpool on the 1st of June. And part of my plan had always been to go and see Jim. I know what that was like, and it was difficult to make arrangements with Jim sometimes because it would be, you know, he would put me off. No, so whatever, you know. But Anne had this wonderful and beautiful experience of getting to know and meeting Mick. Our stories go back to the 1970s, we discovered. We actually used together in Bristol in the 1970s. And here we are, all those years later, united in a love of a human being. Because I loved Jim to bits. Others have shared, I remember him wandering into our meetings. And he was just this energetic, vibrant man. And I've learned so much more about Jim in the last few weeks since he died that I just had I had some idea, but not really a full picture. I started thinking of him as a bit of an iceberg, you know. There's the Jim we saw and the Jim we didn't see, and his compassion and his humility and his depths of care for other human beings was just immense. I mean, the things that he'd done in his life, you know, the legacy that he's left behind is breathtaking. You know, you know, I think others have shared as well. So many of you guys have shared things that I'd like to share. You know, that you've already shared the things that are in me that I, you know. But I, you know, the piece, you know, someone just shared about how higher power brings the people into our lives that we need at the time we need them. And Jim came into my life at a time when I really needed him, and I was going through a difficult transition in my own life. Illness, isolation, and we connected on a really deep level, you know. And again, you know, I'm like others that have also shared. You know, I didn't speak with Jim as often as I would like, but I did have the privilege of meeting Jim face to face on a number of occasions. I remember the first time I ever met Jim, I'd called him up and said, "I'm coming to visit you." I said, "We'll go to a meeting." He said, "I can't go to a meeting." He says, "I can't get out of the house. It takes too long to get myself organised with nappies and wheelchairs." And I said, "No, that's okay." And I sat and I took my laptop down and I sat down and showed him how to do what he needed to do to make that happen. And we had an issue with feedback. I remember he sat in his bedroom. This is in the flat that he lived in before the one he lived in, you know, the end of his life. So he sat in his bedroom and was in the meeting, and I'm sat in his front room in the meeting, and he was so tickled because it had never occurred to him. He's like, "Oh, I never thought about that. How cool is this?" You know, his passion for this fellowship was just immense. I remember him being really so pleased that he was, you know, he'd found it a way to be of service. And that was Jim. You know, Jim was of service, not just to us, not just to the fellowship, but to all manner of different people all over the world, in all kinds of different ways, you know. And but he would go to any lengths, you know. I've put a few things on social media recently about that, you know, about him and who he was, and one of the things that really stuck out in my mind with Jim and in my heart, which I'll carry with me forever, was his ability to face life on life terms. And Jim faced some pretty tough terms, you know, and his courage, his inspiration, his hope, and his faith in the program helped me to learn how to do that for myself. And that was Jim, you know, and Jim wouldn't tell you what to do. Jim would say something, and then it was kind of, you know, the inspiration that he brought in his words and the way he shared was just as carried me through for like times in my life. And again, in recent times, in my recovery, just for that, you know, he's who he was, you know, as a human being. So I'm inspired by. I've been inspired by Jim, more ways than I care to think. You know, than I can say. You know, you know. Hope like Jim finding these meetings was why we started these meetings. You know, to be there to enable anybody, no matter who you are, where you are, what you're going through, to experience recovery in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, to get the message. And that's one of the Jimism that I've always loved, you know. Yeah. Here to hear the message. That's what I used to say in the end of shares. Thank you. You know, you carried the message. You know, that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, you know, and regardless of whatever else is going on in your life, and the example that Jim led, you know, and I know he's inspired countless other people around the fellowship, that, you know, it doesn't matter. Just don't use. You know, nothing is so horrific that together we can't sort it out and get through it, you know, with each other's help and support. So, yeah, I'm moved. One of the times I saw Jim, he gave me a picture. I've got it on my wall. It's a kind of stylized picture of a guy playing a drum. And it's full of life and movement. And he signed it on the back. You know, but it's just who he was, you know, that amazing person. I remember being in a flat with him, and he sort of we were sort of dancing around, and he's got his big kaftan on, and, you know, and all that stuff. He's such a human, he's just incredible. In the face of all kinds of fucking adversity, he's like, oh my God, Jim, you know, really? But I think, you know, unlike some people in the room, I never knew Jim as a healthy, vibrant man. I always knew him as a man that faced the challenges of illness in recovery. And I should be humbled by that memory for the rest of my life, you know, the way he dealt with that. So I haven't got anything else to share, really. I'm just incredibly grateful he was a part of my life and remains a part of my life. Like other people have shared too, you know. He will never leave me. So yeah, that's me. I'm grateful to everyone for coming today. This has been beautiful. And floor's open, guys. If anyone else would like to jump in that hasn't shared yet, this meeting is open till we're done. So please jump in and share with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Beautiful.
I'm Spider-Man addict.
Hi,
Spider. Hello, Spider.
Who got in first? I did. Okay, cool. You know, I only have a short version of Jim because I didn't get to know him that much, but like some other people have said, you know, there were Jim-isms. There were things that Jim did that nobody else did, that he did them a certain way. And, you know, like some of you have heard me say multiple times, the ability to just be able to be in the room and hear the voices will have a calming effect on me, and Jim had a calming effect on me. I too never knew him when he wasn't ill, so I don't know what he was like other than the stories that he told about, you know, he had an anger issue and some other stuff, and I was like, well, I can relate to that. I remember how pissed off I was for a really long time, you know, and I didn't necessarily get to see that side. It's interesting because I had a friend of mine about 4 weeks ago call me up and go, I need your help. And I was like, really, what's up? And he's going, well, I can't run any of my, he's another flute maker, and he's a very good flute maker. And he's probably he's got to be close to 90. And he said, I want you to come down and help me. I said, fine, not a problem. We'll make plans in a couple of weeks. Just give me a call. And about 2 weeks later, he passed away. And his celebration of life was today. And I got caught in the crossfire and I couldn't decide where I wanted to go. And I put the time of this meeting in the wrong place. I was off by an hour. So at 2:30, my alarm started going off, and I was like, oh, fuck, missed out. But thank God it's running a little longer. You know, Jim's one of those people that's going to be memorable for a lot of people in here. Like I said, yeah, I got to meet him about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and when I was going to Higna pretty much every day, I got very accustomed to talking to him, and I got to have a little bit of time to chat with him about some stuff, and he was very insightful. But I've learned for myself that the people that are important in my life Once they pass, it's now the isms. You know, I'll run into somebody and we'll talk about that person and we'll laugh about some of the shit they did. And we will have fond memories, which is really nice. You know. So, you know, I'm grateful I was able to get in here. I was able to share. Based on the way people are sharing, he really had a huge impact on people in this room. So I'll just leave it there. Thanks for having me, Sarah. Thanks for everybody doing service.
Thank you, Spider.
Thank you, Spider.
Jackie, I'm an editor.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. And such a beautiful meeting and such beautiful shares. It's very, very moving. I do not deal well with grief. I just want to say thank you, Jim, for the welcome I got when I came to illness and recovery meeting. And I loved his exuberant way that he would read Who is an Addict? Or that Just for Today, and tell us all, you know, he'd be yelling out and keep coming the gap because you're worth it. You know, she's yelling because you're worth it. And like people have shared, that those are the memories. We all have our personal memories and those are mine. I have a poem that I'm going to try and read. And it was given me when my father died. And it's from Claire Saunders, One from the Heart, Brighton, 18th of August, 1992. When sometimes you are parted from those you love, take heart. That a part of them is still with you, even when they are not, and that the sense of loss you feel is the part of you that has gone with them and will remain with them, even when you are not. Be aware of this and grieve not that you are not to be together, for you always will be by this bond, and give yourself comfort in that. Thank you for letting me share. Love you all.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. It's beautiful.
Bobby, Jackie, sending you so much love.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Jackie.
I'm John. I'm an addict.
Oh, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, everybody. It's been a really beautiful meeting. Wonderful celebration. I didn't know Jim outside of meetings, but, you know, I can echo what a lot of people have said. His presence was very strong and gentle and welcoming and kind. And I was remembering too, shouting after the Serenity Prayer, "Work if you work it, so work it, you're worth it." And, pretty much always he would do that. It was wonderful. And you know, him talking about how he was a nasty piece of work when he was out there. You know, I could definitely sense how much serenity and decades of serenity. But him saying that he was a nasty piece of work out there, I think it's important because, you know, NA changes people. You know, and somebody who's a nasty piece of work, I was a nasty piece of work, you know, through NA and meetings and sponsorship and the steps, you know, can become a different person. And there's a lot of people who've never been addicts out in the world that, I don't know, don't seem to change much, don't seem to evolve much. I don't know, it's great that we have this opportunity with these meetings, with this program. And I was thinking a lot during this meeting about a guy in my local area who had a very similar presence. And he too talked about having, he didn't go into detail, but, you know, kind of doing some nasty stuff when he was out there. And like Jimmy had decades of clean time and was incredibly peaceful, mellow, welcoming, kind guy. Was always there for me in my relapse years. And I had a little card from his celebration with his picture on it that was tucked into a mirror above a piece of furniture, and I had the meeting on speaker, and I got up and it had kind of gotten, some other stuff had gotten tucked in front of it, and I pulled it out and looked at it and looked at the date, and it's about 3 years ago. But yeah, he left behind a lot of strength for a lot of people. A lot of inspiration. And I know Jim's done that listening to, for so many people. And started coming to Hignum about 3 years ago, and I felt his presence immediately, and it made me feel welcome. So I appreciate that about him. And Mick, thank you for sharing. You touched on making a commitment to be there for him when he passed. And you said something to the effect about, you know, that's what we do in NA. We honor our commitments. And, you know, I had kind of a similar experience with my mother in her later years. And yeah, it was, you know, we follow through on stuff. Try to be, you know, decent people, and and we try to give back, and I don't know, I just feel so much gratitude right now, and again, very moved by everything everybody's had to say, so thanks everybody.
Thank you, John.
I'm sensing that we're kind of coming quite close to the end of this. I'm going to just give anybody else who hasn't had an opportunity to share the opportunity to jump in. So anyone who hasn't shared that would like to share, please jump in and share with us, guys.
Steve, is it okay if I say a few words?
Please, yeah. Mick, feel free, my friend.
Hey, Mick.
Yeah. I just want to talk about, you know, when we got him out of the hospital, we got into a really peaceful place. You know, it's quite, it was the hospice. And I just want to tell you, he was only there, I think, 3 days, but he touched so many people in there, and I always imagined it as being, you know, a nice, calming setting and beautiful grounds and stuff like that. But we liven the place up. Every, you know, the doctor, her partner was a drummer. She played bass guitar. We played his music right the way through. The staff were rocking and rolling, you know. It was unbelievable, you know. And it was a real celebration from the minute he passed. But I want to tell you, when he passed, he scared the shit out of me. I just rung everyone I've been in contact with and said he'd gone. I turned around and his body rose up on the bed. And I thought, oh God, I'm going to have to ring every. And what it was, he was on one of those air mattresses. And it had switched off and then it came back and his body just seemed to rise. I thought, oh shit, I'm going to have to ring everybody and tell him he's back. I just want to share that with you, you know, and yeah. It was really nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mick. I would add to that. I just
you would have appreciated that.
Him would love that.
Thanks for being there, Mick.
Question, awesome. He would love it.
Absolutely. I'd just like to add to that.
That was great. I know. That was wonderful.
It was fantastic, right? I would just like to add to what Mick's just said is that two of the funeral directors, including one of the senior members of the company, who'd been around since the 1860s, a really old company, expressed their heartfelt kind of understanding that in all the years they've been doing what they've done, they've never known an individual to be supported and helped through that part of their journey by just friends. And what, you know, that's been shared a little bit, you know, about the commitment, about how we do what we do for each other. And they were blown away. They were absolutely amazing. They did everything that they needed to do and you know, it was absolutely beautiful. Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely, Tammy, his family. But they were blown away by that. They'd never seen it. They'd never seen a group of people come together in a way like that just to support their friend. So I just want to let you know, you guys, you know, that the love that they felt from us, I think, was really genuine, you know, and they felt that and they went out of their way to go that little extra bit and do that extra, those extra few things that they didn't have to do, but they did. So he had a fantastic send-off, you know, and he's on his next leg of the journey. And I did get the opportunity to go and see him on the Wednesday.
He looked good. Didn't it?
It looked absolutely fabulous, and you know, I was able to pop a little Higgler badge on his chest. So I don't know whether they let him go with that. Apparently, they're not allowed to, but he did. But I don't know, you know. So
I believe they did let it go.
Fantastic, yeah. So you know, long may he live in our hearts is all I'm going to say. So thank you, guys. If anyone else would like to jump in that hasn't shared yet, that would like to, please do so. Or don't. The choice is yours.
Hi, Russell, Eddie.
Hello, Russell.
Just like to say thanks. And thanks for the meeting. And the whole process of the meeting has been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Russell. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Russell.
Okay, and I got a feeling that that is the end of the meet, the end of sharing time, but not quite the end of the meeting. So we're going to do what we usually do, only a little bit different. I'm going to ask if someone would be kind enough. I'm going to pull this up and read us the traditions. Let me go to the thing here. So would someone like to read us the traditions?
I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Go ahead, Jay. Thank you.
The 12 traditions of NA, we keep what we have only with vigilance, just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group should have but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA main penny-related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines to keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise. Communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to their traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy.
Okay.
Would someone like to read We Do Recover for us?
I can do that.
Thank you, Spider.
We do recover. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death. Or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It's available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Spider.
Thanks, Spider.
Thank you, Spider.
Would someone like to read just for today for us?
Can I read that, please?
Elisa.
Hi, everyone. Okay. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone, in any, who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Tell yourself, Jim, just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Lisa.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to do tradition seven tonight. Everyone in the room knows the deal, so I'm just going to go straight to our anonymity statement, which is tradition 12. Anonymity is a virtual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And tradition 12 tells us that anonymity is one of the core principles of our program. That's when attending our meetings, we all do our best to remember that gossip can be very damaging to our fellowship individual members. However, please do carry the message you've heard here away for yourselves and the next addicts that you find that might benefit from it. The message is hope, freedom from active addiction that we never have to use again on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And Mick, I would very much like to ask you if you'd be kind enough to lead us out.
Using the word God as you do or do not understand that word. God.
God. It works if you work it, so work it, you're worth it!
Thanks, Jim.
Hey.
Yes, sigh.
Thank you, everybody. That was really beautiful.
It's been so emotional. Thank you.
Thanks for all the stars.
Thank you.
I love.
Lots of love to
everyone. That went well.
Beautiful.